One of the things you may remember hearing about in the very recent past, and that is this proposal by Hydro-Québec to bring a power from there down to Franklin, and with the prospects of it creating a couple of hundred jobs in the community of Franklin, which, by the way, desperately needs jobs, I'm sure, just like several other communities around the state. But, you know, the question is, I guess there are a lot of questions remaining about this. This is the Northern Pass Transmission, and this is all being developed with, you know, Northeast Utilities, the parent company of Public Service Company of New Hampshire. So nice way to produce green energy. However, what are the potential side effects of this? And joining us right now is a gentleman that we talked to several months ago. When we were talking about helping our troops out here in New Hampshire. And Rick Sampson, he's in the North Country, and he's joining us from Stewartstown this morning. And he's got a concern or two about this Northern Pass transmission line. And Rick, good morning, and welcome back to Bulldog Live.
Well, good morning, Bulldog, and thank you for having me on again. I appreciate that.
Oh, you are very much welcome. And thank you for bringing this issue to our attention, because this is, you know, I want to present all sides of this, because we really haven't heard too much other than people getting pretty excited about the prospect of several hundred jobs being created.
Well, I understand that, and I, you know, I have some information and some evidence that would enlighten you, I think, on that subject itself.
Okay, good. What is it? Some of the concerns that you might have?
Well, back on the 27th of December on your program, you know, you did mention this, and you mentioned the transmission filing by the company, mm-hmm. and hundreds of jobs that it would bring. I would just like to say that if this is built, to my knowledge, being an ex-lineman for Public Service Company of New Hampshire, there is nobody that I know of north of Groveton, New Hampshire, that would qualify to work on these structures, install these structures, or have anything to do with them. There are two men, one in Groveton, one in Stratford, that now work for VESCO out of Vermont. Other than them, there is nobody up here that would qualify to install these towers or work on them. That's my first point.
No New Hampshire jobs north of Groveton, anyway.
No, absolutely none. We just completed negotiations, and there's a wind tower being built up here by Noble Energy.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a controversy over that. That was pushed on us by our county commissioners and our county delegation to accept this and put it in the unincorporated town. Well, just last week it was announced that the entire project has been sold to a Canadian firm. So that leads me to believe that the Canadian firm was behind this all along, and they used the New Hampshire people to get the approval for their permits from the Site Evaluation Committee. And in so doing, and now it's been sold, so we're out in the cold again there. There was a border station built up in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, to the tune of $6 million. We were promised local jobs on that project. To the best of my knowledge, there were three local people involved in that, and only two of them for more than 2 months, and they were truck drivers. So the promise of jobs coming to an area needs to be looked at and verified before you accept it as fact.
The old trust but verify slogan,
Really, I mean, that's the way I'd like to put that. Now, this has been a very hot topic issue up here, and I quoted at a meeting in Colebrook with about 200 people a talk that was given. It's called Power to the People, and it was given by Patrick McDermott. He's the Economic and Community Development Manager of Public Service Company of New Hampshire. And I'd just like to quote a couple of comments that he made in Atlanta, Georgia, in March of last year about this project.
Okay.
And the key is staying on message and delivering consistently to all stakeholders throughout the planning and approval process. Stakeholders are not ratepayers and customers. Stakeholders are investors and the company, to be upfront with you.
Mm-hmm.
Another quote that I can quote from him was that if you get 20% of the power, you pay for 20% of the line. Okay? In Columbia, a public service spokesman, Matt Murray, did answer a question from somebody, and he said that we will not charge our customers for the cost of the line. In other words, they will not charge the ratepayers. They will charge the utilities that buy from them, and the utilities that buy from them will then pass that cost on to the ratepayers. But that was his way of saying, we won't charge the ratepayers.
Well, that's a point that I can even add to myself here, because in a story that was posted on CNBC's website, they quote Gary Long, president and chief operating officer of Public Service Company in New Hampshire, saying, quote, because of the participant-funded model, the Northern Pass line will be entirely paid for by Hydro-Québec, Hydro Renewable Energy Incorporated, and customers' rates will not increase from this project. In other words, yeah, that kind of is verifying what you say, you know, that at least initially anyway.
Right, right. Now, it also states that 97% of Hydro-Québec's power is from hydroelectric plants, 3% from nuclear. So the 3% from nuclear does not make them green power. There is plans in New Hampshire to have the legislature change the wording so that it would be considered green power, which is something I think we should watch. But also, this gentleman said, public service plans to overcome environmental objections by emphasizing the positive aspects of the project. The power that we will deliver will be low-cost, low-carbon, renewable energy, and we will use existing right-of-way, McDermott said. The negatives are, this project will not generate a lot of property taxes. So most people are saying that this $200 million plant, if built in Franklin, will generate a tremendous amount of property taxes. It will not. And as the plant depreciates, those taxes will go down.
Now, do you know why that is? Was that an agreement with local officials, or is that some kind of a state, you know, agreement?
Oh, they're just saying that they're going to build a $200 million plant, and that investment will bring property taxes to Franklin, which it may do. But in the meantime, houses and property along the right-of-way will depreciate, as will the buildings around the plant. So you take that depreciation of those current homes now, then you take the depreciation of the plant itself, and are you going to have a net increase in tax dollars or a net decrease? That's mm-hmm. to consider.
You know, one of the other concerns, too, and you probably have some information on this, and that is you're talking about building a new transmission line from Québec down into Franklin, New Hampshire, and that line presumably is going to pass through the North Country of New Hampshire, which people in the North Country are very protective of their views and the wonderful landscape that's there, too. Do you know if this project is going to affect that at all?
I can certainly tell you that it will, and I have with me, in front of me here, a prepared testimony to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission by James A. Munt, the president of Northeast Utilities. I've highlighted several of his comments on here, and one of the questions that he was asked and answered, he said, the original preference was to extend the high-voltage DC line much further south in New Hampshire to a converter station at Scobie Pond in Londonderry. They backed off, and he was asked why. The initial preference was to build the southern terminus converter station at Public Service's Scobie Pond substation in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Scobie Pond has substantial developable real estate on which to build the converter and is a robust location to interconnect into the 345 kV transmission grid. Losses would have been lower. The project could not be sited at Scobie Pond. Expansion of the right-of-way to accommodate the new high-voltage DC line would result in impacts on land trust areas, conservation easements, commercial buildings, and up to 50 to 60 private homes. Now, what I'd like to point out is there are more than 50 to 60 private homes that will be disastrously affected up here. So too will conservation easements, land trust areas, not to mention New Hampshire State Parks, the White Mountain National Forest, and tourist facilities that feed our state revenue funds, meals and rooms taxes, and much more.
Now, one of the things that I see here, again, from the story from CNBC.com, says that the project's preliminary preferred route and alternative routes are being evaluated and will utilize existing transmission rights of way as much as possible. So I go to the Northern Pass website, and they talk about the various potential routes, and they have the northern section, which consists of 46 segments that can be combined into 528 possible routes located between the Canadian border and the Whitefield substation, utilizing both existing and new rights of way. So that I think that would start becoming a concern for people. The central station, which consisted of 6 segments and 4 possible routes and includes both a route that traverses the White Mountain National Forest on existing rights of way and a route that goes around the White Mountain National Forest on a new right of way. Then you have the south section, which is 37 segments and 32 possible routes between the proposed converter terminal located in Franklin and the existing Deerfield substation, utilizing both existing and a new right-of-way. So I think that new right-of-way is something that people need to be a little concerned about.
The new right-of-way, there is absolutely no right-of-ways from Colbert North to the Canadian border. There is a transmission line that runs from Groveton substation to Colbert. It also has a natural gas pipeline along beside of it. At the Columbia meeting, which I attended but was not able to speak because I was not a resident of Columbia, the public service spokesman said there are no existing transmission right-of-ways north of Groveton. That was an out-and-out lie, a bold-faced lie, because there was a 345,000-volt alternating transmission line, alternating current transmission line from Groveton to Colebrook. It ends in Colebrook. Nothing north of Colebrook. So they would have to create a new right-of-way, and their preferred route is down through what they call Tabor Notch, Indian Stream Valley, the Washburn Forest, the Poor Family Homestead, which are all historic places or members of the New Hampshire Society for the Protection of Forests. So what they're trying to do is, in fact, I know one of the gentlemen, he's an existing farmer that farms today, and this right-of-way is proposed to go right down through the middle of his land. So for them to say at Columbia that there are no existing transmission lines north of Groveton was false. But not a resident, I could not speak my ear.
Now, when did these hearings begin? When did you attend this one?
What they had was informational meetings, met with the town selectmen, and at some of the meetings, the public was allowed to speak and ask questions. At some, you had to be a resident. And in Columbia, the selectmen in Columbia would not even allow taxpayers to speak. If you were not a resident, you were not allowed to speak. And there was a young gentleman there whose grandfather had just passed away within a month. They have just planted 250 new trees, the Boy Scouts did in his name in Columbia, and the selectmen would not allow that gentleman to speak. And he was, he's a taxpayer of 250 acres. But they had an informational meeting in Colebrook, which I attended and did speak at. One of the things that I did bring up in Colebrook was the fact that the Department of Energy is overseeing this whole project. That's a 16,000 employees work for the Department of Energy. Another 93,094 are contracted employees. Their budget for 2009 was $24.1 billion. President Obama has proposed or asking for $26.4 billion for the Department of Energy this year alone. The Department of Energy has not done one thing to make us dependent or,
less dependent on foreign oil, right.
Yeah. So what they want us to do now is to become dependent on hydro. And the hydro is by Quebec Hydro. And by their own admission, their large hydro projects are producing more methane gas right now than most other projects in this country or in Canada. So it is not green energy. If you take the number of towns and villages and people that they have displaced to build these large hydro projects, how can you call that green energy? I don't think that you can. But The reason, getting back to Rockingham County and Scobie Pond, the biggest reason that they want to move the substation from Deerfield to Franklin is because of the extremely negative political reaction that they will get between Franklin and Deerfield.
Hmm.
That's the reason. That's the only reason they're suggesting that it be built in Franklin. And these towers will be 90 to 135 feet tall.
Because I was thinking about that. I'm trying to picture it in my mind what these transmission lines would look like. Did they provide any pictures of it or renditions of what it would look like?
No, Northeast Utilities or this company has not. But the people in Colebrook that put on the presentation there did have some pictures and a video slideshow of towers. If you would picture the towers you see in the Concord Manchester area, most of those towers are of the 115,000 volt AC capacity. The towers that they propose would not be single pole structures or two pole structures with a wooden cross beam. They mm-hmm. would be metal structures, and they would have four legs. And then they would have all kinds of bracing on the way up, and then they would have the tops would be where the ground wire goes for the lightning and so forth, and the lines would consist of probably four bundles, four large wires in each bundle, and there would be at least three bundles of those on those poles. So it is a tremendous sight to see.
Well, I'm trying to think of the power lines that stretch through Danbury and Alexandria might be an example of what you're describing. Anybody who's familiar who's gone up Route 104 between Bristol and Danbury would know what I'm talking about there. And we've probably seen these kinds of things throughout the area. So this would be new transmission lines like that. See, at least when they built the Lempster Wind Farm, they had drawings of what the windmills would look like from Pillsbury State Park, and this view from Lempster, and this view from Goshen, and this view from wherever, and the transmission lines of the electricity generated from there to go to the PS&H station in Newport, that went over existing telephone poles. The only thing they had to do is just replace the telephone poles and make sure it would hold the weight of the new lines and the other things that went along with it, but it wasn't new structures, so to speak, like you're talking about.
Oh, these would be entirely new structures. Another thing to keep in mind is that
this is probably why the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests have come out against this plan.
Oh, yes, and the Appalachian Mountain Club has come out against it. There's been a number of people that have requested to be interveners. At last count, I knew they had at least 80 parties. My wife and I are part of that have asked to be interveners in the hearings that the Department of Energy holds. The one drawback that we have is that the Site Evaluation Committee for New Hampshire will be the final determining factor in this.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came out in favor of the wind farm in the unincorporated town, they did so at a very high price. The New Hampshire Fish and Game Department received several thousand acres of land from the noble people, as well as either $750,000 or $950,000 to enforce the rights of ways and so forth. So they, in essence, my belief is they bought the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department off to approve the project. And I'm afraid that we may be faced with the same situation here if, you know, the thing I'd like to point out, Brian.
Well, for what we need to describe, Rick Sampson joining us from Stewartstown this morning here on Bulldog Live, 1-866-823-1077, talking about this Northern Pass transmission line to bring power from Hydro-Quebec down to Franklin. Rick, the Site Evaluation Committee, we need to let people know. I first found out who these people were with the Lempster Wind Farm development project. It's made up of commissioners from several state agencies, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and these are the people that will hold public hearings to determine, you know, whether they should vote in favor or not.
Exactly, and they will vote according to the way the governor and the state politicians want them to vote. And the people that think that this is a wonderful idea don't understand. We now export 18% of the power we produce here in New Hampshire. You know, we're an exporter of power. We do not need this power. They're using this as a conduit to get this power down to Massachusetts and Connecticut. Connecticut, in the year 2012, Connecticut will not be able to supply enough power for their state. Part of that reason is in 1990, when Northeast Utilities bought Public Service Company of New Hampshire and Seabrook, they shut down three of their nuclear power plants in the next year.
That is correct.
And we, you know, we have Seabrook 1. Seabrook 2 foundation is there. Seabrook 2 could be built to eliminate all of this right away, this transmission business. The only thing that we have bulldog left here in the North Country is tourism. And this, in my opinion, as a lifelong resident of New Hampshire, being involved in many other issues, this probably will be the final nail in our coffin up here. People say that, you know, they're not going to, the towers won't bother them and so forth and so on. A lot of the people in the southern part of the state see towers every day. Not the towers of this magnitude, but they do see towers. So maybe to them it's not going to be that offensive. But, I just like to, I just don't understand why they're trying to divide the state. They're promising jobs and tax revenue to the southern part of the state, leaving us with nothing up here. We're all one state, and, you know, we go downstate to shop. People come up here for recreation. Is this going to be the end of the recreation in the North Country? I believe that it will be. You know, this is my personal opinion, and I'm not affiliated with any group. I'm not affiliated with anybody that's for or against this line, but I just want people to think for themselves and understand the magnitude of this problem.
Well, Rick, you know, one of the concerns that I have right offhand, and that is the possibility of eminent domain being used for this type of project. You're talking about, you told us about one farmer that will have this line go right through the middle of his land. And we're talking about, I don't know how many property owners that could be affected by this. Yeah, when I hear that, I go, whoa, wait a minute here. Stop. Let's take a look at this very, very carefully.
If Hydro-Québec is going to fund this entire line, that means Hydro-Québec will be the ones that will be taking the land by eminent domain. A foreign power will be taking our land by eminent domain to build this line.
And folks, I want to remind our listeners that it was just a few years ago that we passed a constitutional amendment in this state to ban eminent domain, to give private property to a private developer, which in this case would be a private or maybe even a, I don't know who owns Hydro-Québec exactly. But you're talking here about a foreign power, no less.
Well, that's, you know, and that's one thing that people don't seem to realize. I have another paper here that I got from Hydro-Québec itself, and at a November 5th energy conference in Boston, officials from Canada urged the United States to accept hydro as renewable power. A main concern regarding hydro is that flooding resulting from dams causes leaves and other foliage to decompose, emitting methane, one of the worst greenhouse gases. Canadian officials argued that the water in the province is so cold the leaves don't decompose. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but, you know. Mm-hmm. But the eminent domain issue is becoming a very hot-button issue up here, because in eminent domain cases, it has to be for the benefit of who? The benefit of us, the benefit of Connecticut, the benefit of, you know.
Right.
Where we export 18% of the power right now, and they're going to give us or sell us 20% of what goes through the state, we don't need another 20%. We're already exporting 18.
And anybody who has doubts about that claim, take a look at what the legislature tried to do last year with taxing the nuclear power generated at Seabrook, rightly or wrongly, for their thinking behind it. But the reason why is because most of that power from the Seabrook plant isn't even generated for people in New Hampshire. It goes south of here to Massachusetts and Connecticut.
Exactly.
And New York, too.
Getting back to that that speech that was given down in Atlanta by Peter McDermott, he also said on page 3, the line, this is a quote from his speech now, the line does not help us to reach our RPS, renewable power source, and the need for additional power currently does not exist. Now, this is the speech that he gave a year ago. So he's saying at that time, the need does not exist, and yet they still want to build it.
Wow. Well, Rick Sampson, I'm out of time. I do thank you very much for your diligent efforts and for bringing this information to light. I think this should start a very good discussion that we need to be having both in the northern part of the state as well as below the notch to see how this is going to affect a number of property owners. And is somebody losing their property going to be worth it for the few hundred jobs that, could be gained in Franklin? Will there be the anticipated tax revenue? Like you said, yeah, it may be good for a $200 million facility to be taxed, but then what about declining property values around it? That's a good question that I would hope that the Franklin City officials have been looking into. I know that they're certainly excited by it, but you know how sometimes excitement can be a little blinding too. But anyway, Rick, I do appreciate you reaching out to us once again, and I look forward to more discussions with you about many of these concerns from the people in the North Country too.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Brian, and for your time and also your effort in your show. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, keep in touch, okay?
We will. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, too. Take care.